Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hello. Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
That's right. We are the pop culture professors, smart people, dumb topics. I'm Caitlin Bitsagai.
I'm Lauren Brickman. We are the professors of pop culture. And you know, this show is a love letter to stand-um.
Yeah.
And if you're still wondering what stand-um is.
Still are.
If you're still going, you know. I've been faking it for a while, but I'd really like to not fake it. You know, being a fan of something to the point of obsession, that's what it is to be a stan. And Caitlin, what are you a stan for right now? What are you standing right now in this year, 2022?
You know, I had so much fun recently at a Brooklyn Cyclones game, and I gotta give it out to the Brooklyn Cyclones, representing Coney Island, the fierce neighborhood where the Warriors are from. And hey guys, it's fun. It's $20. I got a free Friends bobblehead. It was Friends, the TV show themed night. I got a free bobblehead of a baseball player wearing Monica's turkey and sunglasses. I mean,
it doesn't get better than
retail
that.
Value. Priceless.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I tried to list it on eBay, and they said there's no currency.
There's no way
it's sold for.
They couldn't handle it. It goes, they would have been shut down.
No, it crashed the site for a while. Sorry to everyone. So just like, look, remember, there's always different ways to have fun. $20 ticket, $80 on beers, free bobblehead. You're making money in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways, you're investing in your future.
Yeah. And that's what we are here. We're building people's education and their future.
I love that.
So Lauren, what are you standing?
I am standing.
I'm nervous.
You know what? I'm going to be really honest with our listeners right now and say I might not be completely sober right now. And we are recording this at 9:09 in the morning. And that's because I'm standing the El Diablo drink that they make. At the upstairs hidden tiki bar at Gage and Tolner in Brooklyn. Folks, it was the best because you order the El Diablo.
Oh, God.
And then the bartender says, El Diablo. And then everyone else in the bar says, El Diablo. And then there are sound effects. And so obviously we had to order several El Diablos last night.
Sure. Because just be a part of the group, community.
Because, you know, you weren't just getting a drink. You were getting an experience. You were getting a show.
You're still getting that experience, it seems.
I'm living in the El Diablo experience still. And I really stand it. It was such a fancy experience.
It seems like a really fancy experience.
The thing is like, It was.
Was Megan Markle there?
In a way, yes. But I will have to explain that to you off mic. I'm sorry, listeners.
Okay, yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That, yeah, that's
NDAs,
just gonna,
I'm sure.
Yeah, NDAs were signed. It was wild.
And with NDAs, you can tell one person. That's famously the rule.
Famously, I said, but what about Caitlin? They said,
you just put like the name of one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sort of like when you go to prison and you get one phone call on an NDA, you get one confession.
You may know a lot about that. I don't know what happened this night.
I will say, things did take a turn when my co-collaborator, co-worker, you know, co-sponsor of the fun night, we accidentally went much deeper into Brooklyn than we meant to at one point trying to get home. So I was not asleep for many hours before I logged into this. But I also assume you're used to me living on the edge like this, so this is just, like, normal.
Yeah. I mean, we're all doing great.
We're all doing great. Well, I mean, you really are, though. Like, you have that bobblehead, and you have the Monica.
I'm the bobblehead.
You have so much going on over there, so. And I had a date with El Diablo, so you know what? We are all doing fabulous.
Wow. If any of the stands out there have had an El Diablo, either at this Brooklyn location or across the world, let us know. Please let us know. And if you're going to try it, please take a video of yourself.
I will also post the video of the first El Diablo I was served on our account so you can see it.
Wow. Way back then, when you were young.
Yeah. Well, and can I also just say, I think I maybe have mentioned this on the show before. There is another tiki bar that I've fallen in love with called Mr. Lee's Hawaiian. And I was explaining this to the people I was with last night, and the bartender goes, oh, I've been there. And so I also stand the fact that in the world of tiki, we're all connected. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. That is a beautiful thing. You know what else is a beautiful thing?
What's beautiful?
Today's episode.
Today's episode is so fun because we are doing a best of Pitchfire episode.
Pitchfire, your favorite game where we put guests on the spot to pitch a reboot, a movie, a starring vehicle for them. You know, it changes. This has become a stand favorite.
And we just wanted to get some of our favorites all together, revisit some from way back when in the early days of the show, some recent ones. We just wanted to time travel through some past episodes. And so we're excited to hang out with some of our old friends, our new friends, and, you know, remember all of the ideas that are on the table and Hollywood are waiting for you to produce.
Yeah. It's July, so it's a little late to get started for the fall TV season, but not really. We can quickly get a writer's room going for any of these. So just let us know.
You know, streaming makes it possible we can drop content all year round now. We're not limited like we once were by network schedules. And so Hollywood, producers, specifically, like, I don't know, Kevin Williamson, what are you doing?
The teen producer, not the weird conservative writer. How dare he take that name on Twitter?
Yeah, the conservative writer needs to calm down and get out. Like,
wow,
let's be honest about that.
To Kevin Williamson.
Oh, wow. That's a great pitch right there.
Oh, my God. Well, we've got to go.
We got to go.
This up.
Yeah.
And so please enjoy the wonderful best of Pitchfires. Thanks to all our past guests and their beautiful ideas. We love you.
So, Lauren, because we know that you were coming in hot with so many credentials, we have a little game today called U-Tune. Because, congratulations, Lauren, you're a booker, and bookers get rewarded with green lights. And today, you've been greenlit to start a production on a brand spanking new cartoon series loosely inspired by your real-life college experience. Because we know that in addition to being a voice animated performer, you're also a college grad and an amazing improviser. So we want to take all of this and we're going to help you build your own animated series right now on air. And so we have a series of questions. And at the end of this, someone's going to produce it, I'm sure.
Great.
So the first question is, the cartoon series inspired by your true college experience, what would the title of the show be?
Hanging out with older people.
I'm already so into this. And what network do you think would pick up hanging out with older people?
I feel like it could be, it would have to be cable. It could be like Adult Swim or like HBO.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because there has to be room for like weird shit to go down.
Oh, wow. All right. So who is doing the theme song on this weird shit?
Oh, wow. Okay. The theme song. Well, it would take place in Chicago. So I feel like maybe Kanye West.
Has he ever done anything like that?
Like an animated theme song or something, or like anything?
Yeah,
he should. I think that would be great.
It doesn't seem that far-fetched.
No. I feel like we could get him.
Perfect. Okay. So then what's the log line for this show?
The log line is this is what happens when you do improv in college with adults who are all 25 or older.
All right. Okay. So introduce, who are the three main characters? Who's the probably the Lauren surrogate and two others?
Okay, so the Lauren character is like a 19-year-old, fairly naive person who is like confident, but to a point. And the other characters, one would have to be like an older guy from an improv class who's like a mentor.
Oh, gosh. Could go so many ways.
Yeah, yeah. And then the third character would be my best friend. My best friend, who I met through my improv classes, lived across the street in an apartment across the street from me. So he came over every day and like we didn't lock the door to our place. He just walked in and hung out and got high all the time on our couch when we didn't even know he was there. So that would be the third character.
I'm obsessed with all these characters. Can you give us like one line from each of the characters?
Yeah. Okay. So... the Lauren character would say, "Wait, do you guys really still smoke weed? Like, you're like 25. And then the mentor character would be like, "I just feel like you need to like be more vulnerable on stage. Like, you need to like share more about your personal experience."
Oh, no.
And then the neighbor character would be like, "We're going to a party tonight. I don't really care if you want to go. There's a girl that's going to be there that I want to talk to."
Wow. The trailer is just cut together. Yeah. Pretty much.
And then the last question that we have to ask is, what roles could Kate and I play on this show?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that... Okay, here's the available roles. You can kind of pick what you're interested in.
Okay, cool. Thank you. We are offer only for this.
I feel like one of you should be like someone, either my roommate. I had two female roommates, and they were like my close friends. And so one of you could be the roommate. And then the other one, I would say, should either work at like the video store that we went to all the time around the corner and rent DVDs. Wow. Or... you work at the diner that we go to on the corner all the time as well, Melrose Diner, which was our hangout every night.
Wow.
I think I want to work at the video store like Pacey and Dawson did.
Yes. I mean, yeah. You could also, Kate, work at the diner if you don't want to be my roommate. That's totally fair. I'm not offended.
I mean, I think it'd be fun to be your roommate, but maybe I'm like strangely older also.
My roommates were too.
Oh,
I knew it. I had a feeling.
Were all people I met through improv who were well out of college and stuff and like had moved to Chicago to do improv.
That is, I mean, first of all, congrats on the show.
Yeah, this was, I hope that I need to see this show. It sounds so fun.
I do sort of love it. Like you don't see, we talk about non-traditional learners a lot on this show, but you don't see the sort of opposite either of like 19-year-olds with like late 20s people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I learned a lot from them.
Leticia, we're going to play an installment of our ongoing series, Pitch Fire, where we have our guest pitch shows and movies. Now, this one is a very special version because it's called Coming of Grey's. So Grey's Anatomy characters might be any age, 26, 45, 87. Who can say? No one. Also, what year is it on Grey's at any time? We don't know. Not our business, first of all. But what if characters on Grey's got a Carrie Diaries-esque spinoff? So we see their teen or preteen years. All right, I'm going to ask you to assume all of these characters were born in 1987. So they're growing up in the 90s. Because again, we don't know. That could be true because we literally have no idea. So I'm going to ask you what their coming of age show would look like. Do you accept the assignment?
I accept.
All right, we're going to start with no small feat. Christina Yang's coming of age story in the 90s. Here it is. What is it, Letitia? What does it look
like? Okay. So Christina Yang in the 90s was the girl who surprisingly was incredibly popular. She was really, really popular. And so like in when she was like 7 years old, I'm going to go back to second grade because why not? When she was 7 years old, like all the girls would come to her for advice because she knew what was up. She was able to clock everyone. And also like the teachers respected her. So like if they knew, like if they came to Christina with problems, like that they wouldn't get hounded on. But if they were to cause like trouble by themselves, Christina would be the one to like help them out of that situation. So I think that led into her popularity in her preteens. And then of course in her high school years, I think that her favorite show, man, 87, her favorite show probably was, she liked the OC. She was a fan of the OC. She did not like One Tree Hill.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, she doesn't like the small townness of it.
No, no. She liked the OC because it was high stakes. It was high stakes and lots of money, but also like hard workers because, you know, you had Sandy Cohen on there. So that was her favorite show that she liked to gab about. Who's now on Grey's? Peter Gallagher. And she admired that like hard work ethic. But because of like her openness and her ability to clock things, that's what made her really, really popular. While she did not win Homecoming Queen, she was on the court in high school.
Which is cooler. She was on the court.
It is cooler in a way. And that year, I think there might be like some drama in that year because what happened was like she was supposed to win, but she rigged the votes for the other person to win because she was like,
I love that.
You know, she was that kind of person.
I love that.
And I would say like things sort of switched when she got to college because you know how like if you go to like a private school, which she went to a small private school, and like at the small private school, she was like incredibly popular, well-liked, everyone's friend. And then when she went to college, because she went to a big school, she kind of felt like lost. And that's when she like really was like, okay, I'm diving in. I'm going to be like hardcore focused. But yeah, to me, that is what happens in Yang's 90s.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. I want to see it. That's a winner. What about Callie Torres? What do we have?
Callie. I'm going to make up where she's from, even though on the show they obviously say where she's from. But I'm going to say Callie's actually from North Carolina.
Okay.
And her family is actually incredibly religious. So think of like a Seventh Heaven style show, but with Callie Torres, with young Callie Torres. So, you know, a big-ish family. You know, she doesn't have five siblings, but she has like an older sister and a younger brother. And her father... is he's not the reverend, he's like the associate reverend at a church. Ooh. And so because of that, like that's where she like began like repressing herself and her like fullness, because like she didn't want to disappoint her dad, you know. So that's always something that's like a side plot in her story. And because of that, she again, unlike Yang, was not very popular because she always sort of kept to herself. She didn't want to like prematurely out herself. So she was kind of quiet. She didn't go to homecoming at all. She went to prom, but like with a group of people. And it was like the group of people who all like didn't have dates because she didn't feel comfortable like fake asking some guy or having some guy like ask her. For her, she wasn't as into movies as she was into music, because music was a way for her to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw that when she lived in the hospital.
I love that.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, this is changing his age greatly, but what about Richard Weber? A version of Richard Weber that's born in 1987.
Wow.
Nearly 30 years after he was actually born.
All right. So Weber, as a kid, I'm going to say that, like, he was really actually into sports.
Yeah.
Super into, like, the 76ers, super into the Michael Jordan. Space Jam was his favorite movie.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Not just Rachel Bloom's favorite movie, but also his favorite movie. So he was really into it. And he actually believed in the movie Like Mike, when Bow Wow put those sneakers on, this is his entire series is going to be inspired by Like Mike, because he actually puts, like, different articles of clothing on, and those, and then he will change into a different person. So, wow. Whereas in Like Mike, Bow Wow put the sneakers on and changed into basketball players that are really good. Richard Weber puts on other articles of clothing. So he might put on a tie. And turn into, let's say, I don't know, who's like a cool person who wears ties? I don't know. He puts on a tie and turns into, like, I don't know, what cool person in the 90s, like, was always wearing ties?
George Stephanopoulos.
There you go.
So cool.
The coolest guy.
That's his series.
I love this jock nerd we got. All right. So our next fella is Mark Sloan. Ugh.
Mark Sloan!
Teenage Mark Sloan. Coming of age Mark Sloan. What are we seeing?
Mark Sloan. Okay. Well, obviously we know Mark Sloan is incredibly attractive. the young Mark Sloan was the type of guy who he pulled a She's All That. That's the Mark Sloan story. He pulled a She's All That. He would date the girls that, like, weren't super hot and popular, because he was like, I'm gonna have this girl on my arm, and then she's gonna run the world. So he helped people have a self-esteem boost, and he actually did it for men as well, not just women. He floated around because like, I'm gonna uplift and be of service with my ridiculous.
I love that. I love that so much. Wow. I want to watch all of these shows.
Yeah, these are all greenlit. And finally, what about the one and only Meredith Grey?
Meredith Grey.
Wow. You have to legally sing her name like that. It's in her contract.
Meredith Grey. So Meredith Grey, she... Wow, now that I sang Meredith Grey, let's give her a musical television show. Let's do it. Let's do Meredith Grey. While Glee came out in 2009, let's give her a 90s version of that. Why not? Let's do it. Let's have the theme song for the Meredith Grey show be similar to Clarissa.
Okay.
Let's have it be like that. And she talks to the camera in her show. She's the narrator always, you know, not just now, but she was the narrator in the 90s as well. So she talks to the audience and sort of gives us that.
She does like the Zach Morris timeout.
Say what? That's Meredith. And she's always giving her takes and opinions. There's a lot going on in the show because there's also it's also a musical.
Right.
Don't forget.
It's also a musical. They typically are singing about the mundane things that you normally don't sing about. Like, where in Glee, they sing about, like, oh, like, I'm in love with, like, my teacher. No, and in Meredith Grey's world, they're singing about, like, oh, I got a peanut butter jelly sandwich today for lunch. What?
Wow.
Trade with me, because that's the Meredith Grey.
This feels so real, because it feels like when I think about the pilot of Grey's Anatomy, I can see this being us seeing Meredith again for the first time since we've seen her since her musical adolescence show where she talks to the audience.
Yeah.
It feels right.
It tracks.
It feels right.
It feels so right.
Wow. Well, that was Coming of Grey's. These are all greenlit. Each one a perfect show.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a test of creativity only. We're going to play a game we call Pitch Fire here on the show, and this version is called Buddy Up. So I'm going to name some actors that strangely have never done a buddy comedy. You guys are going to give me who should be their buddy in a film and what should the premise be. We're just brainstorming here. We're going to come up with some screenplays. Okay. All right. The first one is Leslie Jones. SNL's Leslie Jones. She's never been in a buddy comedy. Who should she buddy with and what should they do?
I'm going to say Zoe Kravitz.
Wow, out the gate. Yeah. Strong choice. Zoe she's and Leslie. Chill.
Yeah, she's chill. Leslie's like abrasive in your face. I think that would be cool.
Right, yeah, right. We need the energies. We need the energies offsetting. And what are we seeing them do in this film?
You know what? I'm going to say Leslie's going through a divorce.
Wow.
And Zoe Kravitz makes beer. And then they go on this craft beer road trip to find themselves. And then they go to a mountain and they do acid. So it's like sideways, hipster version, sprinkle in a little acid trip. A24, holla at your boy.
Absolutely. A24, if you would like to log into the Zoom at any time, let us know. I love that. That's amazing.
I love it.
Okay,
I'd watch.
What about Randall Park?
Randall Park
from Fresh Off the Boat, yeah. And... the one Apple TV show that everyone watched but
me. He's a
me.
Bit newer, right? He's like a newer actor, right?
He's in that maybe Always Be My Maybe with Ali Wong.
That shit was fire.
Oh, I know him. He plays a lot of bit parts, too.
Mm-hmm,
he's
mm-hmm.
in a bunch of the Marvel stuff, no?
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
that's
yes,
what
yes.
I was trying to think of. I still don't remember.
Disney Plus, he was on WandaVision.
You want to take this one, Barlow, or you want me to go?
You know what's funny about him is he's like so quirky and funny, but he's not like... Mm-hmm. a big energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't think he could be like the voice of reason. Like I do think it's a hard, like I'm going to just say, because maybe it's because I'm thinking of the bit he did on The Office, but like a John Krasinski, like someone who could also be voice of reason and funny to like play, or maybe like a, not Owen Wilson now, because he's too old, but like,
wow.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't
We're taking jabs at Owen Wilson. We don't even care.
We don't give a fuck.
He's too old for buddy comedy.
He's too old. He's
we
out.
Don't want to see him.
Maybe his brother.
I like the John Krasinski pick.
I do too.
Because he has become a bit of an action star.
Yeah.
You know, he did that like Jake Ryan or whatever the hell it was. Not Jake Ryan, but you know what I'm talking about. That Amazon thing. And then he did Quiet Place. So like he can be the like serious leading man, but he does have the comedy chops. Right?
I love this. I love this.
Yeah. It's a more cerebral movie, maybe. You know?
Yeah,
it's quirky.
It's quirky. And my idea, based on what Lauren said about like he's a big action star, but he could go back to his roots, the two dads like trying to just reconnect with their manhood on a road trip.
Yes. On a road trip.
A24, holla at Barlow.
A24, holla at
Barlow. Awesome. Awesome. I'm loving this. Okay, here's a wild one. Mariah Carey. She wants to get back into acting. She's going to do a comedy this time.
I'm going to put it with Nick Cannon. No.
Chill out, Roger.
No, Nick needs the work. He has a lot of children to support. He needs it.
Yes, and she needs him to make his own money so that she'll be like, I'll do it. It's fine.
Yeah, she'll do it because she'll be like, yeah. Yeah,
I like that. They don't play romantic.
I was totally kidding.
No.
I like it. I'm into it.
No, I'm into it.
No.
They play exes, forced back together.
But they're like, friends. They're friends,
like buddies. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's true. I think they are friends.
Yeah. I think they have.
I was going to say Donald Glover.
She would love
like
that.
Like a musical, since they both can sing. What?
Yes.
Like a,
yes.
Like a musical?
Yes.
Ooh, I got it. I'm going to pitch it up a little bit.
Okay.
Mariah Carey is like a touring star or whatever. Mm-hmm. They tell her, like, you need to draw in the young audience. So Donald Glover joins the tour as like the younger artist to bring in people.
Wait, wow. This just sounds like a perfect romance, though.
No, they don't fall in love.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm writing my own fan fiction.
You're writing fan fiction of this thing we just pitched.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If it's going in a different direction, I will pen my own thing on Wattpad.
Because maybe he's like getting seduced by the vials of the tour life, and she's trying to teach him how to, as a mentor. She's a mentor.
Mariah Carey is a mentor, is it? A thought I've never had, and
I would love to sign up for that mentoring program. Do you think there's an application process?
Yeah, it's like an internship kind of thing.
Hell yeah, I think I could learn a lot.
I think you could learn a lot, honestly. And I think she needs a childcare help too.
Intimate.
Yeah, that's the internship.
That would be the funniest, to find out Mariah Carey was hiring her nannies through internship. Would be, that's the clickbait article I'm waiting for next.
Speaking of, and we've already discussed The Office came up, but what about Rainn Wilson? Who should Rainn Wilson pair with?
He's like out there now.
Is he? Is he a kook?
He's not cuckoo. He's just very like, I mean, it's a good mentality. He's like free loving and what's wrong with the world and, you know.
Gotcha.
But he seems like less of an actor, more focused on that stuff. But
that's the Beats dude. That's the dude from Juno.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Beats Dwight Schrute.
You know what? I'm about to bug out with my selection. I'm about to bug out.
Bug out, please.
I'm about to bug out. I'm gonna say Elizabeth Moss.
Interesting.
Yeah, you feel me? Mm-hmm. You feel me? The two homies. You feel me? That keep each other in check. You feel me? But what they decide to do is they both are successful, but their lives, they're feeling really bored with their lives. You feel me? Like, my man own a startup. Elizabeth Moss, she could be like the lady that finessed the blood, whatever. And they both buy a big ass boat.
Okay.
They travel around the sea, but they end up getting stuck. So their friendship gets tested. You feel me? It's always one person on a boat. But this time we have homie from Office and homegirl from Mad Men. Come on, A24, I know y'all want that. Yeah.
It's a real Castaway meets The Office.
If they're going to give Robert Pattinson and William Dafoe some bullshit-ass movie where it's just both of them, give it to Dwight and Peggy. You feel me? Fuck that.
And their characters' names are Dwight and Peggy.
I love that.
Just so they won't be confused. That's what they know to answer to. I love it. And finally, let's see him break into acting. Who should be in a buddy movie with Lil Nas X?
Timothy Chalamet.
Stop.
Come on, man. That's the easy answer.
That was my answer. I just had that loaded because that was my answer for Dwight.
Oh, that would have been better than my dumb boat movie.
I let you run with it, man. I'll just yes you.
Wow.
All right. Lil Nas X. Let's see.
Well, we could do the idea. Danny Glover.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's well. Yeah.
I guess this is what I'm thinking is like a more like a father son movie.
I love that. I love a Lil Nas X.
Wow. Danny Glover. Mel Gibson.
Lethal Weapon, My Two Dads.
Yes, we meet up with the star. We meet up with Riggs and Murtaugh, and they have adopted a son in the intervening years. And he's a rapper. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's my pitch.
I'm so excited because we got a real bona fide TV writer and former Teen Vogue intern. So, you know, he's got the credentials for this game. We are huge fans here at We Stand of a little game we like to call Pitch Fire. And
it's Pitch Fire.
And this time around, we've been inspired by the Netflix series Emily in Paris. Which, if you aren't familiar with Emily in Paris, it's the story of a Chicago native who abruptly is forced to move to Paris despite speaking not a lick of French. Not one word. The show's fashion dazzles. But it's, how would you describe the show, Caitlin?
Well, it has some American-centric xenophobia. Mm-hmm. Just in episode one, there's some fat phobia. Mm-hmm. There's some transphobia. People aren't, warming to those aspects of the show.
Yeah. Somehow this series got greenlit for a second season, but we think we can improve upon the model. And so, Ty, we want to get your help to pitch Netflix some alternative series. And so we have titles for some shows, and we want to hear your pitch for what Netflix should be greenlighting instead of season two of Emily in Paris.
Okay. I love it.
So these are... this is the theme of women traveling. So tell us, Ty, about the show Kristen in Berlin. What should that show be?
Kristen in Berlin. Picture it. She is 22, LGBT friendly. She is a DJ.
Ooh.
And she is over the scene in Austin, Texas. Got you there. She's not in New York. She's not in LA. She's in Austin, Texas, guys.
You got me.
She hops on that Air France flight because she's going to pit stop in Paris, but then go to Berlin. We gotta have a little pit stop.
A little nod.
And when she goes to Berlin, she was like 50% goth in the States. She's 140% goth in Berlin. She's embracing it. She's living it. She lives a life in Berlin where I think since the moment she's landed, she has not seen the sun rise. She amazing. Wakes up at 8 p.m. She goes to bed at 4 a.m. She might be a vampire. That's it.
Wow, Kristen in Berlin. We're going to need five seasons.
Minimum five seasons. All right. Kristen in Berlin sounds incredible, but I want to know about Jackie in Hong Kong.
Jackie in Hong Kong. This one's a little different. This one is about Jackie, the mother who her kids have recently flown the nest. She's become a grandmother. She's done her thing. She's done her time. Everything's great, but it can be greater. So she's going to Hong Kong. She literally did the thing where you throw the dart on the map. And it landed on Hong Kong. And she goes on her trip. She's there for, I want to say, if this is going to be four seasons, I want to say 11 months. We're gonna stretch this out. This is going to be good. She goes there and accidentally finds herself in a diplomatic hoo-ha. And she has to represent the United States of America.
Whoa.
Does she do it successfully? Gotta watch.
We don't know. Oh my God.
I hope so. I am rooting for Jackie.
When you, when you said life's great, but it could be greater, I got literal chills. Like, I see it. I see the whole promo right now. I'm so excited. I'm curious, who is Jackie? Who's playing Jackie?
Oh, wow. I didn't think about this one. That's on the budget, right? ideally, mm-hmm. I want to say, and this might be annoying and controversial.
Okay, I hope so.
Kate Winslet.
Wow.
This is happening in 20 years. Yeah.
Wow. I'm into it.
Hong Kong. I love it. I mean, these are two huge hits already, but tell us about Betty in Rio.
Betty in Rio. Oh my God. Let me tell you about Betty in Rio. Betty's in advertising. She's, you know, doing the advertising gig. She's pretty good. It turns out Brazil wants to redo the Olympic Games. They failed so bad last time. They did so bad. The city is in ruins because of it. They need to bring someone in to do it right. And who's ready? Betty.
Wow.
I love the idea that it's like, Brazil's got to get a, we got to get a redo on that whole. Wow. I love this. Is it too much for Ugly Betty, America Ferrera, to be Betty in Rio? Is that too much? Have I gone too far?
So. I don't think so. Okay. I'm very curious about Ugly Betty today. Mm-hmm. Like what happened to her character? What's going on? How's the gay nephew? What's up?
Wow. Betty Suarez saves Rio is the TV is the made for TV movie I never knew I always wanted.
Coming soon.
I'm obsessed. I hope so. Okay, we got one more that we need because, you know, Kristen, Jackie, Betty, these names are basic, but I don't think they're basic enough. And so I gotta know, Ty, Caitlin and Lauren, you know, the most basic names around. Where in the world are you gonna send us? What country are you sending us to? And what's our storyline?
Caitlin and Lauren, I am sending you to Saskatchewan, Canada. You are going on behalf of a friend who has recently passed. You are going to go to Saskatchewan to fulfill probably the most insane, if not stupid, bucket list, but you do it for your pal. You do it for your pal, and it's all Saskatchewan.
Yes, we would.
We totally would.
Oh my God, we'd love that. We would love to go to Canada.
We love that.
And then you all get allergic to mosquitoes, and it's a whole thing, one episode.
Oh, that's funny. We're doing comedy.
I love that. I love that so much. That's,
I can't wait.
I'm writing the pitch deck right now.
Rickman, I think you got a game for us.
Oh, I got a game. Here at We Stand, we love to play a little game called Pitch Fire, where we ask our guests to pitch us movies or TV shows, but we have a very special version of Pitch Fire to play this week. This is Pitch Fire, We're Cool Edition, because Lisa, Casey, we know you're both brilliant comedians and creators, and we couldn't have you on the pod and not showcase your skills, but we're not going to make this easy for you. What we have for you today is we have a bunch of very lame names for TV shows. Mm. Like truly terrible titles for TV shows.
Make them work.
And yes, and that's exactly it. Your job is to take these terrible names and make these shows cool to get them greenlit. All right. So the first lame name for a TV show is simply called Tax Season. Make it cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sexy Attorneys. Sexy accountants, I mean. All right, let's take it back.
Sexy accountants / attorneys. They're into tax law.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You thought you'd be sleeping this April? Sorry, you're actually going to be horny.
Mm-hmm. April is the horniest month of the year when you get this newly divorced but still sexually attached couple co-tax attorneys. Mm-hmm. It's starring Harry Antonio Styles Banderas. And Antonio Banderas.
Wow.
Wow.
Guess what? You show up to do your taxes, you might
get wet.
I love it. All right. Well,
perfect.
Honestly, I wasn't sure until I heard Antonio Banderas, and then talent's attached. We're moving on.
Okay, yeah, they're attached. They're tech avail.
It speaks to, like, we both were like, say someone sexy, got it. And we both, Harry Styles,
Antonio Banderas.
There's nothing sexier. All right, well, I'm excited. We're off to a great start. This next show is called The Drying Paint Chronicles.
Mm-hmm. It's a period piece. The Victorian era, and there is a shortage of heat.
Mm.
And it's a woman who has a farmhand, and he's tasked to paint the barn, and it's so cold that they're huddled in there and they just have to watch the paint dry.
And they hallucinate as they're doing it, and that's the Chronicles part. And it actually gets really fantasy.
Exactly.
Because of these hallucinations that they're getting through suffering is what they eventually will make their millions writing children's books for. But they're hallucinating all kinds of sci-fi but also fun, dragony, that shit that kids eat up. Boom. Kids love it. They were gonna have toys.
Oh my God. Okay.
Merchandising opportunities are limitless.
Wow. We have McDonald's listening to these recordings at all times, and they are
excited
going to the Happy Meal.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited about all the millions of dollars we're going to make from this one. The next one is called Beverly's Chore Wheel.
Okay. So Beverly is, she is a lifelong waitress in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
And she's had it hard. Am I right?
Yeah. Beverly's had it hard. She's, been a waitress since she was, 14 years old. She, works doubles. Mm-hmm. She's a single mom. She supports her daughter on tips.
And she's had enough. And it's time for her to get some justice.
That's right.
Out all the people that have wronged her. And she spins this wheel, and that wheel doesn't actually have chores.
It's got
fucking names.
She's got to roll up her sleeves, spin the wheel, and get revenging. That's right. The wheel corresponds with a name and a weapon. She will kill whoever the arrow stops on.
That's right.
Starring
Jamie Lee Curtis
as Beverly.
She'll fucking do anything.
Starring Andy Serkis as the wheel.
Wow.
Annette Bening as her best friend.
That's right.
Don't do it, Bev.
Annette Bening from the South.
I love this so much. I really didn't think Beverly's Chore Wheel had any promise, and you've changed my mind. Now my favorite show of next season. Okay, we have two more. This next one is really wild. It's called Womb Wars.
Of course, a reality show.
Absolutely.
And contestants put as much as in their bodies, supplements, steroids, all kinds of things. And to see who could have the biggest child. It starts off like very fair. Like the women and the men are weighed. Like everyone's got the same, like they go back to like their parents. Everyone's got to be pretty much the exact same sizes and stuff. So it would be normal. They should be the same. But they're taking, they're taking all kinds of supplements, making sure that
they have the biggest child.
And it's like they will be measured. Those kids will be measured.
And the season finale all takes place in the hospital with a way off.
Wow.
So all of the kids immediately are placed on scales, and it's a bit, but it's also, it's like takes place, like basically they relocate the hospital to a stadium. So it's in the round.
Yep.
The audience is in the round, and it's a live event.
And surprise at the end, the babies fight.
That's right.
Not only are they the same size, at the end they put out, they're just left there, they fight. And
I know you guys are like, oh, there's a loophole, like women deliver at different times, all scheduled C-sections.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah. That's great.
Wow.
Didn't they
So then they all have the same birthday. Mm-hmm. So then we can do a check-in at least once a mm-hmm. year moving forward.
Wow.
Womb Wars baby.
Exactly.
Birthday.
It's like a really lowbrow version of that British documentary where they keep checking on kids.
Yeah.
It's seven up. Exactly. It's seven. It's not your mama's seven up.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You know, call it eight up because yeah, call it's just it eight a little up. Bit better.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. I'm delighted and terrified. All right. Okay. This last one, I don't know how you're possibly going to make this cool, but I believe in you. This show is called Mustard Stain Mansion.
I mean, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a real whodunit. It's a classic caper. And it's, you know, a spinoff of Clue starring your friend Colonel Mustard.
Okay. It's all mustard all the time.
It's all mustard all the time. And what was the title of it again?
Mustard Stain Mansion.
That's right. And the stain is blood.
That's right.
And you have to know who died. And Colonel Mustard's there as, you know, the kind of the master of ceremonies mm-hmm. to take you all through it.
And people are mad because Colonel Mustard, who, you know, he dedicated his life to work for the army, mm-hmm. obviously, as a colonel. Yep. Why does he have so much money that he could afford a mansion? It seems a little fishy. So people are coming after him. People are coming after
him. It's twists and turns. It's red herrings. It's like whodunit. And it all ends in a stain that you can't get out with soap.
Which is cum.
Which is cum.
Wow.
It's in there. It's in there. The black light will see it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's so there's also some room raiders.
It's kind of like Clue meets Room Raiders, you know, the classic combination.
I want to talk about they did that every episode, right? Like where they go into the room and then the girl checks the boy's mm-hmm. bed for cum mm-hmm. stains, right?
Yeah.
That's on a television show for kids. Okay.
For kids.
Great.
Yeah. I love this idea. And unfortunately, Lisa, I just got a text message saying you now actually have to develop Clue meets Room Raiders.
Literally, it's in the works.
Amazing.
You know, one of our classic games here is Pitch Fire. So we have to do a pitch. We have to put Chrissy, the Emmy-winning writer, in charge of a project that is a little wobbly. We need her expertise.
Yeah.
The project's called Felicity at 40.
Yeah.
That's what the show is called. It's a working title, Felicity at 40. So I need you to tell me some things about this show, okay? We're interested in your vision of the project here at We Stand Studios. So is this going back to the CW WB land or is it on a streamer? Where are we? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the question and for the meeting. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, did they get you water?
They did offer mm-hmm. me some water. I declined it.
Okay.
It's my first power move when I walk into these situations.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, the girls knew, so she didn't know.
The girls knew. Okay, so yes, as I mentioned, I think this is medical drama. I think her and Ben are working at a hospital similar to a Meredith Grey and Patrick and Derek Shepherd sort of a situation.
Wow.
Noel has developed some sort of like medical tech app.
Yes.
You know, like one of those things mm-hmm, that's like very mm-hmm. big right now, blah, blah, blah. Sean is actively trying to push pharmaceuticals and all of these new sort of startups that are like, you know, those ads you see on the subway.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
startup for a medical procedure that there shouldn't be a startup for. That's what like Sean's doing. So he's still in the realm. He's always pitching Ben and Felicity this because they're the co-chiefs of the hospital, by the way. No, Felicity's the chief.
Oh, okay. All right.
What is Elena doing? Is Elena alive? I can't get into that yet.
So yeah. So what? So one of my questions was who's dead?
Who's dead? Who's alive? Great question. I think Elena has to be dead only because I would love to see, she has to be alive for the reboot, obviously. But canonically, if we're asking me what I actually think happened, she should be dead at the end of the series.
Right.
Logically, she should be dead. But let's bring her back from the reboot. Why not?
Yeah.
She's a chief at a competing hospital. Let's say that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we still get that classic Felicity and Elena conflict competition mm-hmm. that we love. Tracy's dead. I think Tracy's going to be dead. I think Elena is, she's on the market. I love it when Elena dates. That's like my favorite. in Felicity. So I'd like to see her dating again.
So are Ben and Felicity rock solid, or do we have moments of doubt, things they go through, other people that come in and out?
You know, of course, it's the classic thing. Like, you spend your whole first series getting the characters together, and then the minute you get a reboot, you have to destabilize them. We saw this, and Just Like That. We saw this with Sex and the City, the movie, Sex and the City, the movie 2, and Just Like
Mainly
That.
Sex and City.
We've seen it countless times from Michael Patrick Caine.
Is he an EP?
Yeah.
You can bring him on as an EP.
Oh. Yeah, we can package that. He's willing.
Do you think that would be our job? But we're asking you, the writer.
Yeah, I'll bring him on.
Okay, good.
Here's something.
Uh-oh.
Felicity wants to be open. It would never, it would not make any sense character-wise. But I'm so tired of Ben being the one who flounders in the relationship.
She likes to complicate her life.
So she does love to complicate her life.
Yeah, well, speaking of, what's going on with Ben's kid?
That is always the thing that I've watched this. I should have added this to my cred. I do a Felicity rewatch every year.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that I'm always just like, oh God, I hate this. Like,
it's horrible.
I hate the Ben's kid thing.
And Lauren, who plays Dr. Cuddy on House.
Good for her.
Lauren is gone and just the Dr. Cuddy character from House reappears.
I also think there is a world in which you do Felicity at 40 in a tight movie and it's all framed in documentary. You know, obviously, that's how you do a quick reunion. You do a documentary, hour and a half long special. That's like Sean getting an update on everyone's life, things like that, where it's not, you don't have to do a whole 10 episode season.
Sean's doing like a GoFundMe for a documentary.
Is still pounding the damn pavement. He's trying to get anything he can launched. But I wouldn't want to add TikTok into the world personally.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Wait. We all know what Sean's doing, though. He's doing TikToks for some big brand. Like, he's working for, like, I don't know. What's, like, the last thing you would ever want that character to be connected to? Something involving children? Because he's just a little too into it and it feels a little gross.
Okay, wow. You put a lot in this character that I didn't see.
Never mind.
I think Sean and Megan are divorced, personally.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Sean could be dead. Megan could have just straight up killed Sean.
I recently watched a clip and it made me so sad when Megan asked Felicity if they're still really going to be friends.
Wait, in real life or in the show?
No, in the show. But it made me sad because I was like, oh.
Yeah. I do think they are probably friends, but they're the type of friends that the minute one of them moves to another city, it's a little bit over and done with.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's hard for them to keep up. And it's true. It's also generational, I'll say, with them being, as we identified, a little older than me. It's hard if you didn't go to college when there was like a lot of group chats and stuff like that. Like the infrastructure wasn't there. You have to add people later.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah. It is. It's harder to keep. Like, you would keep up with your best friend, but like the fourth person over, you're just not going to make the effort unless you're on the group
and
chat.
And phone numbers were changing so much in the early days of cell phones. You know, every time you got a new phone, you had to get a new number. I do remember that.
And sometimes you would have to, like, if you moved area codes for distance purposes, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It was hard. So, and they're older than me, so they're facing that. That could be an episode.
That could be. I actually think Megan's probably running a daycare. I do think she's working with kids. I think so.
I love that.
She's doing that. Magic.
She's just like a preschool teacher. She's so like just pumpkin spice basic now.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, that's definitely the evolution.
Yeah, that's
type of.
Well, because that's where she came from, right? Like, remember the episode when her parents come to visit and she had like a totally different wardrobe?
So that's how there's the two
takes
on the IP and.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, we can tell you're a real fan. did the girl get you water or did I ask? Sorry.
I asked her for a coffee, actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that'll take a while.
She'll be here. You can wait outside with the other writers for the coffee.
Other writers. As if it's a big casting call.
Well, but we liked your idea a lot. So we're probably going to go with Chrissy Shackelford.
Yeah.
We got to hear.
Oh, yeah. I love to sell in the room.
This first game, I'm setting you up for nothing but success because I am going to take your love of Golden Girls and marry it to something else I know you love because I couldn't have you on the show and not dip our toes into another fandom we both share. So here on the show, we like to play a little game called Pitch Fire where we give you the challenge of pitching us ideas. And this time we're doing the Golden Hallmark audition because I don't know if you realize this or not, Kalia, but Golden Girls airs on Hallmark, which is a channel.
Yes, it does. Do you know what I watch in hotel rooms? Do you know what play? Because at home, I only stream. I don't have cable. But when you go to a hotel, you will put the Hallmark channel on.
Of course. Because
it starts at 8 a.m. And it also starts in the evening times at like after the last Hallmark movie is done at 10. And then you can have Golden Girls for like 2 hours. And then it turns to Frasier.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I love that you know that. So because I know what a huge Hallmark fan you are, in addition to being a Golden Girls fan. So what I have done is I have selected 4 commonly used Hallmark tropes. And I'm going to ask you to pick not one of the actresses from Golden Girls, but one of the Golden Girls characters. And imagine you can plop them into one of these tropes and tell me how you're going to do it and why you've chosen that particular Golden Girl. Are you ready for Pitchfire Golden Hallmark Edition?
Yes.
Amazing. All right. So the first trope that you are going to make golden is the main character comes home for Christmas to return to the small town they're from. Which Golden Girl is going to drop into this storyline?
Obviously, Rosen Island. St. Olaf, Minnesota is a tiny, tiny town. I don't know if y'all know, but the way to get to St. Olaf, it takes a long time. And then they get in a very small plane. And then they have to ride on the back of a buggy, basically, and shout out at their neighbor. So, yeah, it would be Rosen Island.
Okay. And what happens when Rose goes back for Christmas?
So Rose has been spending a lot of time now in the big city of Miami, Florida, and has new thoughts, ideas, and perspectives on the world, and is shocking her family that still lives there in the town, doesn't know what to do with her, but she is able to reconnect with some of her roots, and she is even able to help another young version of her finally claim Butter Queen,
yes!
Because she was duped with a churn, with the churning. It got jammed. She's like, there was a butter churn incident. So I think that's like the redemptive moment where she puts aside her anger and frustration about that. And she can help a young girl become Butter Queen.
Wow. I'm so mad this movie doesn't exist. All right. That's perfect. Absolutely greenlit. Coming to Hallmark 2024. All right, this next trope is the meet ugly. A meet ugly involves a first meeting where the connection tends to be hostile. Which one of the Golden Girls is having a meet ugly story?
That would be Dorothy Swornack. Dorothy Swornack is notorious for telling it like it is and not caring. So I feel very strongly that this would be her storyline.
All right, and if you could pull a character from any other TV show in the history of television, who would her meet ugly be with?
Oh, gosh. That's so great. Would it be from, could it be Tony Soprano? Because they both have such strong, like, they would butt heads, but then he would find the value in her, and he would be like, oh my gosh, this woman, she's keeping me grounded, she's keeping me focused, career driven.
This is absolutely unhinged, and I love it so much. Who would have, Dorothy and Tony, could have never seen it coming, but I love it now that it's here.
Yeah.
All right, we are 2 for 2 with the hits. This next one is one of my personal favorite tropes, and it's the holiday competition. It could be a talent show in a child's school. It could be float decorating in a parade or something related to baking. Which one of these girls is getting into the holiday spirit through the spirit of competition?
It's Sophia Petrillo. Because there's probably money involved.
Yes.
And so she's going to try and figure out a way to get that money because she probably wants to buy something really mundane like a TV or something else. But she signs up for the senior center's holiday contest of some kind. Yeah, it would be Sophia Petrov.
I love that she goes to all the trouble and she wants like a really tiny TV.
Like, what would be that? Yeah, it has like a built-in VCR, like the 13-inch. VCR.
That's exactly what I was imagining, and I love it so much. Okay, perfect. No notes. Greenlit. Love it. All right. The fourth trope is one that Hallmark has perfected and Netflix is always trying to steal, and that's somebody's boyfriend is secretly a prince.
I mean, that's, oh, how fun. All of these are so fun. I mean, we might as well finish the gamut. So
yeah,
that would be Blanche Devereaux. She's just dating this man in Miami. They're having a good time. He says, hey, hun, you want to come travel abroad with me to this nondescript, but everybody has a generic British accent, place in Europe that we've never heard of before. And like, she stays in his castle. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a queen. And she's always wanted to be a queen. So I feel like it fits very perfectly for her.
Wow. I love it. So upset. These fit so perfect.
Isn't it perfect?
Hire me, Hallmark. I've been wanting Hallmark hires for so long.
Wow. They
should do this with like existing properties like that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Million dollar idea.
I was like crying as you were, because I picked each one of these in my head for those exact characters, obviously. But I love that like you had no idea what tropes were coming and you just, and it just worked out perfectly.
Didn't save any.
That was perfect. That was perfect. No notes. Kalia, if I had anything to say about it, you'd be hired at Hallmark right now. Actually, you know what I want to see? I want to see the movie Hired at Hallmark about a Hallmark stan who gets their dream job and then falls like in love. Like everything comes into like everything falls into place the day they get hired, you know?
There is a movie that is not exactly that, but it is the like, wait, we're in a Hallmark movie now type of situation where the girl, where the sisters like talk about like, oh, Hallmark movies, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then they wake up magically and they are in
a movie,
in a Hallmark movie. Yeah.
Well,
that does exist.
Okay. Well, but in this one, you get it's hired for Hallmark.